Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
Hey, you're very welcome along to the Friday Betting Show. Today I'm joined by Liam Blanche from Boyle Sports and also sporting a very interesting retro-looking Dundalk shirt, Ronan Mullen.
Yeah. Well, I would say I'm looking back at a fonder day as well, but this is the golden age of Dundalk FC. Slow start of the season, but hopefully they drew three of their first four last season and ramped the league, so hoping for something similar, I'd say.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I think in the commentary last Friday, they were pointing that out, that it was a draw on the opening night and Dundalk going on to win the double, so something similar will probably suit you this year, Ron.
And also, like, given the depth of the squad and also the financial clout Dundalk have now, if they are struggling mid-season, they can just throw a bit of money at it and strengthen the squad where it needs to be, which is good because they've lost two key players already, Patrick McElhenney and Robbie Benson. So it's a tricky one for Vinnie Perth. He's going to have to move the chairs around on the deck, but hopefully can get things back on track pretty soon.
Very interesting weekend as well, because we've got a huge match coming up this Sunday between Manchester United and Liverpool, probably a very important game in terms of Liverpool's title race. Man City not in action in the Premier League this weekend. They have the EFL Cup final against Chelsea, and the Chelsea boss Maurizio Sarri saying last night if they played like they did against Malmo, they're probably going to get thumped again by Man City. I wonder if some of the emotional scars might still be there from last Sunday week when they lost 6-0 at the Etihad as well. We'll look forward to two games coming up in the Premier League tonight as well, and we'll also look forward to some of the Gaelic football and hurling action this weekend, including a repeat of hurling's great rivalry, Kilkenny against Tipperary, and a meeting of Dublin and Mayo at Croke Park as well. So all that to look forward to. Leon, first of all, you have a few offers for us this week. What have you got in mind?
Yeah, we do. Look, and it's no surprise that we're focusing in heavily on Sunday with the Man United-Liverpool game and, of course, the Carabao Cup. I think the Man United-Liverpool game is the big game of the weekend, without a question. But Liverpool to win and both teams to score 4-1 from 3-1. Look, it's going to be a very, look, we'll talk about it, but it's a decent enhancement because Liverpool, they do score in most games. United have been scoring quite regular under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So anytime you get an enhancement like that, it's pretty decent.
Obviously, that is the big game of this weekend as well.
It is.
Everyone's looking forward to it. You would imagine that Liverpool have to go to Old Trafford and have to try and win. This is an off weekend for Man City, so it's a chance for Liverpool to send out a signal.
Yeah, it is. And like this is their, I suppose, this is their game in hand. You couldn't have picked a harder game in hand, to be fair. United bounced back quite well in the FA Cup against Chelsea, having been defeated in the Champions League at home against PSG. But Liverpool, Van Dijk will be back. He missed the game against Bayern Munich. And I just wonder, will Jurgen Klopp look at Fabinho playing alongside Van Dijk? Because Fabinho, to me, was the better of the two centre-halves on Wednesday night. Matip is just, he just doesn't possess any type of calmness. He's all over the place, really.
Especially when they tried to pass the ball out of the back a few times, Matip got caught.
Yes, he did. And I think, looking at the way United play, I think Rashford might be on that left wing. And I think with Trent Alexander-Arnold, I'd rather have Fabinho beside him instead of Matip on his side. I just think Fabinho's a very good ball reader. He seems to understand the game extremely well. He made a couple of very good interceptions against Bayern Munich. And I think as an all-round footballer, I think he gives a lot more calmness. And I think that back four, with Van Dijk back in, with Robertson on the left and with Trent on the right, I think I would be leaning towards Fabinho playing, but it'll be interesting to see. Lovren is out, so it's either going to be Matip or Fabinho. I'd rather Fabinho.
And that would accommodate, like, Klopp in all the big games since he's been there has really gone with when they're fit, Wijnaldum, Henderson and Milner. So it didn't quite work out against Man City in the away game. They look a little bit stilted there, so maybe he was thinking of bringing Fabinho in, but injuries will dictate. And as you said, Fabinho probably is the best option, partner Van Dijk, given the players available, you know.
Those injuries to Man United as well, Ronan, we talked about ahead of last week's game on Monday. The two key players in terms of, you know, just their running game with Anthony Martial and with Lingard being out, but Solskjaer found a different way to play against Chelsea on Monday.
And there was some indication this morning that those two might be available, but it could well just be mind games. Give Klopp another wrinkle to think about in his tactics, but it's a good point, Will, because In the PSG game, he brought Mata on and just stayed with the same system. I think we spoke last week about his in-game management still needs a little bit of work. And you were looking at Mata wide on the right, Sanchez wide on the left, and there was no pace. But against Chelsea, played Mata in his natural position as a number 10 with pace in front of him. And it was really a short performance. Like, I would have Like, I was one of the ones who doubted whether the bounce back would be there, but they passed the test with flying colours. One of the most assured performances you'll ever see from a Man United team at Stamford Bridge. Even though Chelsea had a lot of the ball, United never looked in trouble. And Chris Smalling, he's had his doubters over the years, but he looked, again, assured as Lindelof's partner. So United be confident going into the game on Sunday. And the anomaly here is that Liverpool's front three, which have torn the Premier League to shreds over the last 18 months or so, one goal or one assist ever against Man United since Salah joined the club. That was Mane in the last game. So that could have something to do with the fact that United's last few managers, Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho, have sort of set up to shut those guys down.
Yeah.
Sunday, I think Solskjaer's going to go for it. And that might give those a bit of space to do their magic, you know?
I think as well, interesting with the approach on this one as well, Leon, because Mourinho lost his job mainly because of how he set up at Anfield. They were just absolutely played off the pitch. They played this really kind of languid style and they got men behind the ball. That's not the way Solskjaer's played so far. We could see something different this weekend.
Yeah, I'd agree with Ron. I think, you know, they're at home. It is Old Trafford, you know, and Man United are used to attacking teams. And I think with Solskjaer, he's not going to go out and try and set up for a nil-all draw. I don't think that's in his makeup. He's a little bit of a chip off the old block in terms of Ferguson. He likes to see Manchester United do what they do best, and that's attack. Yes, if Lingard and Martial are not available, it does hinder him a little bit because they offer genuine pace. But I did like the way Matip almost played at the front of a diamond against Chelsea. And if you've got even Rashford and another in front of Mata, he can find that pass. He's very good in tight spaces at having that killer pass. I'm really looking forward to the game on Sunday. I think it's going to be an open game of football. I think both sides are well capable of scoring. Liverpool have not been as solid defensively as they had been at the start of the season. A huge part of that is Joe Gomez not playing alongside Van Dijk. The two of them had struck up an unbelievable central defensive partnership. But I think both teams will score. I'm really interested to see, does he keep in Naby Keita? And for me, I would keep him because he's slowly but surely starting to reproduce some of the form he showed at the start of the season. He started on fire. Liverpool fans were all over him. Then he got injured and his confidence definitely, he's supposed to be a really quiet lad. He doesn't say an awful lot. But in the last couple of games, he showed glimpses of it against Bayern Munich when he got on the ball. He's not afraid to drive at the opposition's defence. And I take what Ronan said about Wijnaldum, Milner and Henderson. But I just feel with Liverpool, if they pick two out of those three and play Keita, he offers something different to those three central midfielders. And I think to take a little bit of pressure off the front three, Keita does possess that one-on-one he can go by you as if you're not even there. And I just think Klopp is starting to trust him again. It was a big decision to play him, I felt, against Bayern Munich. I hope he keeps him in at Old Trafford because I think with a kid like him who's very quiet, he needs confidence and he needs to be playing week in, week out. I'm looking forward to the game. I hope, from a Liverpool's perspective, that they can go and get a victory. But I feel if they don't get beaten and they play well, it's still a good result. Mm. I think Sunday night you want to be on top of the table and that's either a draw or a victory. United obviously have their own goals in terms of finishing in the top four. They've put themselves in a tremendous position with a phenomenal run, it has to be said, under Solskjaer. But they have a lot of big games coming up, Man United. Whereas I looked at Arsenal's fixtures actually last night, and if you take away United and Spurs, which they play in the next couple of weeks, Arsenal, their run-in is a lot easier than Man United. So it's going to be interesting to see in terms of who wins the league and, of course, who finishes in that fourth position.
Ronan, when it comes to United's motivation on this, top four part of the issue here, but stopping Liverpool winning the league has to be a goal as well.
Yeah, like top four, I'm sure, in the team talks and stuff, might be an element of it, but it really is going to try and pull the heartstrings a little bit and say, go out and do this for the fans, because I put up a tweet a couple of weeks ago, which would United fans rather see Man City win the treble or Liverpool win the league? And it was overwhelming response that they just don't want to see Liverpool winning anything. So I think it's fairly clear to see that United are playing. It's as much for pride as anything, rather than any sort of league position.
And has that game been arranged at the United City game in the league? I think there was something. Maybe it's because City are still in the FA Cup and United. I think they'll have to try and find a date for that game. I don't know whether it's been arranged or not, but obviously City still have to go to Old Trafford. But as Ronan said, I have a feeling that Manchester United will be going all out on Sunday to try and deny Liverpool. But look, it's I think this game is the biggest game in the calendar year anyway. Liverpool, yeah. Man United, without a shadow of a doubt. These are the two most successful clubs. They've got real fans and it means an awful lot. This is a huge, huge game. I think if Liverpool were to win it, I think it could springboard them on to winning the Premier League. It's that big of a game that the confidence you would get from it. You know, you go to Old Trafford, you get 3 points, you're 3 points clear Sunday night. The belief that will generate within the squad, I think, could be something that they wouldn't be able to replicate. Should they, if they get beaten, I think it would go the opposite way. I think they'll lose the league. Mm. It's that big of a game. It's absolutely massive for Liverpool on Sunday.
Right, we'll get firm predictions from both of you in a little bit when we do our bets for this week, because the games come up as part of that as well. Let's take a look at last week's bets, and always remember when you're gambling to do so responsibly. Only ever bet what you can afford. And for more details, if you have any issues, visit dunlewy.ie. Now, last week's bets were pretty successful. We had a 50-50 strike rate in the end. Leon, I'll give you pride of place first. Monday in the FA Cup, you went United to win at Chelsea, and in it came.
Yeah, I just fancied United because of what happened with Chelsea against Man City. I thought PSG got their tactics spot on against United, where I just thought Chelsea were awful. They were just downright terrible against Man City, and they were pretty awful against United as well. So, yeah, I went for United. My bet for the FA Cup is still running 9-1. It's looking all right. Although, I will say about Man United, they've beat Arsenal away, they've beat Chelsea away, they're now going to have to beat Wolves away. Mm. Whereas if you look at the teams that Man City have got in the FA Cup, they've just been blessed with the draw. So if United can get by Wolves, I don't think anyone would begrudge them an FA Cup.
Ronan, you went for the draw in 90 minutes. You thought, yeah, it was going to be a lot tighter on Monday than it played out in the end.
Yeah, I was expecting a bit of shadow boxing, sort of neither team. Both teams going out trying not to lose. And as it turned out, United, as we said earlier, they sort of went for the jugular early on and got the result that it warranted, you know.
I'm 2-for-2 now at this stage, which isn't a bad ratio.
I don't think John Duggan will be coming back into that seat.
Maybe he's not, no. Maybe I'm going to lose next week. But I went for the away treble in the FA Cup last weekend. Crystal Palace to win, which they duly did quite easily on Sunday afternoon. Watford got the ball rolling last Friday night. And Millwall got that win in their London derby as well. So that paid out in the end at 5-1. So happy enough for that
away treble in the end. Very decent treble.
Kevin Kilbane had worried me because he was betting on two of the matches that I was involved in there. Kev has lost and his strike rate is pretty poor this year so far. Crystal Palace to win was his straight bet, and that was fine at 6-10. But then he was going for both teams to score in Bristol City and Wolves, and that's the one that let him down. It would have been 3-1 if Kev had got it in, but Bristol City against Wolves ended up with no goals for Bristol City. We'll look forward to next week's bets in a little bit, but the other big game this weekend, and Leon, you've got an offer for this one as well, is Chelsea against Man City, the EFL Cup final. It's a chance for City to maybe win the first leg of a quadruple.
Yeah, listen, here's hoping they don't get the quadruple, but 9-4 out to 3-1, City to win and both teams to score. Look, I think the big conundrum, if you're a Chelsea fan, is will Sarri finally give in and play N'Golo Kante in his best position, and that is in front of the back four? The comments last night after they won in the Europa League would suggest no, because he said we were awful for the first 30 minutes, and that's because Jorginho wasn't playing. But Jorginho was playing against City, he was playing against Manchester United, and he was so ineffective. He didn't really do anything to influence either match. Whereas if you put Kante in a position where he's won back-to-back Premier League titles, where he's a World Cup winner, he's the best in the world at what he does, playing in front of the back four. Now, if Sarri really wants Jorginho to play two holding midfielders. Put Kante beside him and then play at least three and one. Change your formation to suit the players you have at your disposal. But he looks as if he's not going to change it. So therefore, you would expect City to lift the League Cup. Can Chelsea score against them? They didn't offer much hope at the Etihad. Mm. They didn't even look like scoring. Maybe just because everyone thinks this is a foregone conclusion that Man City are going to win and win comfortably, maybe Chelsea can get on the score sheet. Maybe. But I still fancy Man City quite easy to win this, because that win in Germany in the Champions League as well, that will just give City more confidence. They weren't at their best. They were down to 10 men and they still pulled out a victory. Mm. And you look at Leroy Sané coming off the bench and scoring a free kick of that nature. Raheem Sterling does it again. Was it a free? Who cares? He didn't stop. He scored 3-2. City, for me, should lift the League Cup, Ronan. I don't see Chelsea putting up much of a fight.
No, I would go along with that. And even if Chelsea do win like in years gone by, the Mark Robbins Ferguson thing, it's brought up a lot that that's the game that saved his job when he won the FA Cup. But such as the short-termism in football now, once there's any sort of rumblings that a manager has lost the dressing room, that's normally curtains. I think even if Sarri wins the cup, he's on the clock anyway. We remember Van Gaal winning the FA Cup and was sacked the same day. So I just think when Chelsea will always have a chance because they've got star quality in that team.
They've got experienced players who've won cup finals before.
Yeah.
They could pull it together on a single day.
And like Eden Hazard has a remarkable record at Wembley. He always seems to turn up on the big occasion. So again, you can't write them off. It seems so strange given that the 6-0 is so recent in the memory, but yeah. You know, it's a blank slate and Chelsea are just going to have to park it. Know that this is a one-off. There are no repercussions after this, so just go out and try and win the game.
And surely he must change his tactics a little bit, having watched his side play City, as Ronan said, not too long ago. Surely he must alter something about the team setup, because if he goes and plays the same way that he played at the Etihad, the conclusion is going to be that Man City are going to win quite easy. I respect Sarri in terms of he wants to try and get his own style across, but sometimes you've got to alter your style of play if the results are not going to plan. And if you look at two main rivals, City in the league, obviously Man United in the FA Cup, and you don't even look like scoring, something's got to change.
Do you think he is going to change anything, Ronan? Because, you know, Sarri seems to me a very kind of rigid personality, a guy who will try and stick with the tried and tested. You know, again, as Leon said, he said, look, Jorginho is my main man in midfield. He's going to play that position. If that means Kante somewhere else, that's what it means. Is there any chance he can be persuaded between now and Sunday to change?
Yeah, Leon made the point, like you can keep your philosophy but still change the formation, you know, change the setup. I think Gary Breen made the point last night that while Guardiola and Sarri have similar philosophies, Guardiola is not afraid to mix it up, five at the back, alters his midfield shape, but he still has the same sort of thought process in how he wants the game to be played. He can still play Jorginho and Kante, as Leon said, beside each other, maybe improve the balance. But yeah, he just seems, I think you phrased it last week, it's his hill that he's going to die on. And it looks like that's what it's going to be. The comments last night were bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's going to stick with what he's done so far. And it might just...
Yeah, and even when he was asked, do you feel pressure? He was like, well, I felt pressure when I was managing the Italian second division. I don't feel pressure now. That to me just tells me he's waiting on a big payoff. Because he knows he's got the contract. He knows if they sack him, they're going to have to pay him. Something's not right. It just doesn't feel right. And I think you made it last week and you're spot on that, well, he's going to stick by his motto or no motto, and it's going to be the sack. That's
so
it.
We're picking City across the board then, aren't we?
Looks like it, yeah.
Looks like it, yeah.
I don't think there's any evidence to say that City are going to lose. And even when I think of the City selection as well, they're probably going to rotate in some players they left out during the week. Like you mentioned, you know, Sterling and Sané can come into the game. They're reasonably fresh after midweek. You know, Mahrez could come in fresh. The depth of squad that they have means that if he makes changes, they're probably not getting weaker here anyway.
No, I mean, they've got the best squad in the Premier League by a long, long way. Mendy's coming back. He gives the Müller option at left full. It just seems, excuse me, Kompany, I think, is back training as well. Now, I know he's very brittle, but I'm saying all the players are kind of coming back at the right time of the season for City. I think they've got West Ham at home. I think it's the Wednesday night in the Premier League. So there will be some changes from Sunday to Wednesday. But as you rightly said, if you make change with City, it doesn't lessen their potency. They're just a phenomenal squad.
I know we kind of half joked about the quadruple, but is that an actual runner for you guys? I mean, De Bruyne said this week it's nearly impossible, but is it actually possible, Ronan?
No, I was just going to say, like, if anything, fighting on all these different fronts helps keep squad morale up, because it's something Ferguson has gotten a lot of acclaim for over the years, that he'd drop someone in inverted commas but tell them, I'm not playing you today because I need you for this game.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it keeps everyone's spirits up, so whoever doesn't make the cup final squad will likely play in the Champions League down the line or in big league games to come. So Guardiola's, like, obviously wants to win the quadruple, but keeping all these different fronts open gives him a chance to keep the squad happy, basically.
Yeah, they're a 20-1 chance to win all four. I think they'll get the first one on Sunday. They're probably into the semi-final of the FA Cup. They should beat Swansea. It's going to be hard. I still worry about them in Europe. I was a little bit disappointed. I know they got a victory, which is great, but I think if they come up against better opposition and play like they did in the first half against Schalke, it could be the end of the road for them in the Champions League. But look, the further they get, they'll be into the quarterfinals, depending on the draw. you know, you wouldn't put it past them. They've got an unbelievable squad.
Yeah, I get the feeling 20-1 won't be available come Monday morning. It'll probably come in a bit. Some of the other, I guess, interesting games this weekend. One that jumps out to me is tomorrow, a really big game for Spurs away to Burnley. Burnley, obviously, you are a lot better at home than they are on the road. Spurs have sometimes this season not been entirely on it when it comes to games that they should be winning, like Wolves at home springs to mind just after Christmas. But this is a vital game, Leon, for Tottenham in terms of just keeping themselves in the top four and maybe even just in terms of keeping on the coattails of both City and Liverpool as well.
Massive game, Will, and it gives them an opportunity of putting serious pressure on Liverpool. Like, if Spurs beat Burnley away, they're 8-11 to do so. It does put even more pressure on Liverpool for the game at Old Trafford, because for all that people said, oh, Spurs have lost six games, but they haven't drawn any. And that, I think, is key, because as we all know, three draws is only one win. And Liverpool have drawn quite a number of games that you'd be hoping that they could have won, but Spurs just keep getting wins, and big wins. Without Ali and without Kane, they have really responded extremely well. And I think in Pochettino, they're definitely building something. Look at them against Dortmund. They didn't play great first half. They came out second half and they were sensational. They beat them 3-0. They've got a very strong back line, Spurs. And he can mix and match too. They're starting to build a little bit of a squad now. People have said, oh, how can they sign anyone because they wouldn't get into the first 11? Well, now you're seeing how strong and how much strength and depth they have when they're missing such key players. And I fancy them to beat Burnley. I think they're quite capable of going there. Harry Kane will probably be on the bench. You'd probably want to be keeping him fresh for a big game against Chelsea midweek in the Premier League. That'd be a nice game for Kane to come back in. But Spurs are learning to win without Harry Kane. And that is a serious statement, because not many sides could afford to lose Harry Kane, let alone lose Kane and Ali. And for a time, they didn't even have Son, because he was off playing for his country. So Spurs have done remarkably well. They're into the quarterfinal of the Champions League. If they beat Burnley, they're still hanging in this Premier League. And by the way, they've still got to play City and they've still got to play Liverpool. So all is not lost for Spurs at the moment.
Ronan, 5 points the gap at the moment is what they have to try and cut down. Harry Kane coming back in, the doctors have obviously done a good job to get him back a couple of weeks ahead of schedule. This is a big boost. I mean, even if he is just coming off the bench this weekend, coming into a vital period for Spurs' season, having Harry Kane is big, having him back.
Yeah, it's funny, like, you figured the air was out of the balloon when Harry Kane went down with that injury, but they've established a rhythm without him, and it's difficult to just parachute him back into the starting 11 straight off the bat, or do you wait till there's a slight wobble? So it'll be interesting to see if he throws him straight back in. Burnley, we were talking earlier about timing being everything. This isn't a great time to be playing Burnley. I was looking, 15 points from their last 7 games.
Yeah.
That compared to 12 points in the previous 19 games. So Burnley are on a bit of a hot streak, and it's always been notoriously a tough place to go and get a result. So Tottenham will be looking to get the 3 points, but it's no gimme by any means.
Elsewhere in the top four, it's the other game on Sunday, which people aren't going to watch because they're going to be watching United against Liverpool. Arsenal against Southampton. Southampton did them at St Mary's earlier this year. I presume the Emirates is going to be a different story. But, you know, Arsenal, given how that top four race is shaping up now at the moment, I know they got a good result last night in front of a lot of empty seats, but they'll be expected to win on Sunday, Leon?
They will be expected to win on Sunday. I mean, they're 1-2, Southampton are 5-1. And as I said, I think with Arsenal, I was just looking at the fixtures last night. They do play, I think they almost play, it might be United and Spurs back to back, I don't know which way, but after that, they have a lot of sides in the bottom half of the table. And they are right on the coattails. They're only a point behind Man United. It's not a lot. I'd expect Arsenal to win. It might take them a little while. It seems that at the Emirates at the moment, there seems a little bit of nervousness about them. You saw how much Unai Emery celebrated last night. It was like as if he'd won
the
Champions
League.
Yeah, but I think the pressure, I think that's letting out a little bit of pressure. Celebrating like that against Batey Borisov. I mean, you've got to calm it down a little bit. I know you needed to get into the last 16 of the Europa League, but I just feel he feels the pressure too. But a fair play to him. He's come out and said there's no money. So he's told the fans there's no money like for me in the summer, so I'm going to have to try and work with what I have if I've got to get rid of one or two and bring in one or two. But Arsenal are quite good at beating the lower teams, and I think they'll beat Southampton. Lacazette will be fresh. He should start. And I would be surprised if Southampton were able to come away from the Emirates with anything. I'd have to say home win.
It brings us round to our bets of this week, because Arsenal are part of your treble this week, Leon. You've decided to go for Arsenal. You've got Newcastle to win what's a pretty important relegation battle against Huddersfield. Well, Huddersfield do seem doomed, but if they lose to Newcastle, they're particularly in trouble. And you've also thrown in West Ham to win against Fulham tonight as well.
Yeah, I just think West Ham at home, on their day, they are very, very good at the Olympic Stadium. And I just think with Fulham, they're so bad defensively. And West Ham have got a lot of creativity when the likes of Arnautovic. I'm a huge fan of Anderson. Mikel Antonio can do a job as well. And I fully expect West Ham to be able to see off Fulham tonight. And Newcastle as well, since they beat City, they've been playing quite well. And at home to Huddersfield, Rafa Benitez will earmark this as a must-win game. So I do fancy, I've gone for the home treble. And that's, I'm hoping, all three sides can oblige.
Okay, I've decided to kick off my double with the game tonight as well. Cardiff in good form at home against Watford, who looked a little bit shaky. I know they came in on our bet last week in the FA Cup, but I think Cardiff have a good chance there at 2-1. And I'm kind of going on the same lines as you guys for United against Liverpool. I think it could be a draw on Sunday. I think both teams might be happy enough to take a draw. So that's my 10-1 double for this week.
It's a big double.
It is. I think avoid, given the run that I'm on, and due some of the air coming out of the balloon. Ronan, you've gone for a similar type of bet in United against Liverpool, but you're going for a specific score here.
Yeah, this game is 1-1 written all over it, I think. And I was kind of thinking about it last night, and then John Giles was on. He picked 1-1, so I was like, that's it. I'm going. If he says it, I'm definitely going along with that.
So, Jazzy, yeah. You're Jazzy if you quit, if that comes in.
Exactly. You know. So I think in the grander scheme of things, a 1-1 wouldn't be a terrible result for either team. So that's what I'm going for this week.
Right. Kevin Kluban has to turn it around at some point, and he's gone with a little safety net on his bet this week. He thinks Manchester United are going to win on Sunday, but he's taken the draw no bet at 11-10. So I guess a bit of safety first there, Leon, in terms of Kevin's bet this week.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think probably, look, he's got the safety net of the draw. United at home. I also heard John Giles say Liverpool are a bit unlucky to face United at this current moment in time. But look, that is what it is. Obviously, you'd much rather if Jose was still there, but he's not. And if you want to be champions, these are the games where you've really got to stand up. I wasn't too disappointed with Liverpool's draw against Munich. They created kind of enough kind of chances to win the game, but I felt there was one eye definitely on Sunday's game. So look, it's going to be one hell of a game. Really looking forward to it.
We've got some good Gaelic games coming up on Sunday as well. Well, Saturday night game to kick off with. It's the great rivalry here, Leon, to start with. Dublin against Mayo. Dublin maybe looked a little bit vulnerable in the league so far, but nothing better to sharpen the mind than one against the old rivals.
Yeah, look, they are. You know, there's a lot of talk about Dermot Connolly coming back. I think he will be back for the championship. I don't think we'll see him in the league campaign. But Dublin need a win, because they've lost 2 out of 3 games, and that's not like Dublin at all, even if it is only the league and people are saying they're way behind. And Mayo have been the closest side to beating Dublin. Dublin are 3-10, Mayo are 7-2. I just think the Dubs at home in Croke Park, when they need a win, they'll be able to get a win. And I'd be surprised if they don't come away with the victory on Saturday night.
And I'm sure when it comes to the Super 8s, they'll be quick to point out it's a neutral ground as opposed to a home ground. Tyrone against Monaghan is a big Ulster derby this weekend as well. It's a repeat of the first round of the Ulster Senior Football Championship last year. It's an interesting one. I mean, imagine this one's going to be a real battle.
Yeah, real battle, really, really close in terms of betting. And I'm going to go for the underdog. I like Monaghan at 7-5. Tyrone have been disappointing so far in the league campaign. They're 4-5 at home. The draw is also a big runner here. Any time you get two Ulster sides playing each other, the draw is notoriously shorter than it should be in any other game. It's only a 7-1 chance, whereas even if you look at Dublin Mayo, it's a 9-1 chance. So I'm going to go with Monaghan to pull off a little bit of a shock. Not a huge shock, they're only 7-5, but I think Monaghan are quite capable of beating Tyrone.
Two teams that lost last weekend, Tipperary and Kilkenny in the hurling. Was watching Lairca Gael during the week with Jackie Tyrrell as well, so maybe got the kind of juices flowing ahead of this one by showing some of the old All-Ireland finals between Tipperary and Kilkenny. Maybe they're not quite at that vintage of 4 or 5 years ago, but what way are you going for Tip-Kilkenny? Both teams needing to win after losses last weekend.
Yeah, I felt a little bit sorry for Kilkenny last week. I thought they were very good in Paris against Limerick. They gave away 2 goals pretty much right before half-time, which obviously is a crucial blow, but they finished the game quite strongly. They're 2-1, but Tipperary at home at 8-15, and the draw here is an 8-1 chance. Both sides need to bounce back. You know what? I'm going to stick with Kilkenny. Right. I just like the way Brian Cody was talking about. He saw a lot of positives. Obviously, there were some negatives. They gave away two soft goals. But I think at 2-1, the Cats might be able just to give Kilkenny give Tipperary plenty to think about.
An intriguing game coming up at Semple Stadium. EFL Cup final on Sunday as well. And of course, that vital match between Manchester United and Liverpool as well. If you're having a bet this weekend, the very best of luck. And we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.